Dream Team, Dream Team was before you were born.
Was it 92?
Yeah, I think it was 92.
Yeah, I was born in 93.
93, right? Yeah. End of 93.
93.
Basically 94, though, right?
93. I've always kind of had a little bit of pride in the fact that I was a 93-er.
Wait, you lived one day in 1993?
Yeah. But in 93.
What time were you born on the 30th?
I think it was like noonish.
So a day and a half.
Yeah, I got a full day and a half. It was like 10 a.m. noon, something like that. I got a full day and a half. I remember it.
You got a day and a half. I've never thought about this before this moment. You were really born in 1994, basically.
Stop. This is not even how you're going to start this conversation.
No, it's
this
not.
This is not going to be your topic.
No, okay. So I'm watching the rest of the world. I'm watching the Jordan documentary, which is like, I can't decide if it's the greatest show ever or if I just miss sports that much. Mm. Is it both?
It's really good.
It's really good.
I don't want to pretend like I'm done. I'm on episode 5 or 6, yeah. And I'm loving it.
It's so good.
But I'll get like 20 minutes at a time.
But it's really fun because like when you watch the Dream Team thing and they're talking about basically like the Dream Team just changed, like made the NBA like super popular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like, I mean, that's like when I was 13 years old, you know? So I really, really, really remember the Dream Team deal. And it's super interesting to like, be this far away from something and they go back and they're making this documentary about it and you're like, yeah, that was the zeitgeist. That was like the height of like when I was listening to music and watching shows. Zeitgeist.
I've never heard that word in my
life. You've never heard that word before?
No.
It's like the mood of the day. Like this is the thing of now.
Like the soup of the day. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's just really interesting to watch a show where they're like, they're going back and documenting something that you were like, oh man. Because normally when I watch documentaries, they're like about, you know, sometime before I was born.
Right.
So when you watch anything that happened before 1994, it's that way.
I know. I've been watching the like, well, I'm kind of, like the Ken Burns baseball documentary for me, yeah, is kind of my like, I need to kill. I've just got 15 minutes just to sit for a second.
So I'll just catch a segment.
Yeah. And even that was made, I think it was made in 94, which I'm like.
Which is when you were born.
Oh, but I could tell by hairstyles, glasses, yeah, size,
yeah,
and clothing, all the stuff. I was like, this is a little bit different, but I've seen all this before.
It is funny whenever guys like Bob Costas come on the thing,
yeah,
and you just see like whoa, you were so young and dorky. Like
anytime I see Bob Costas, to this day I think of his eye. He just like, good morning and welcome to the Olympics, I have pink eye. You know, he just like started
for our listeners.
Like, that's how we started. Was that Sochi? I don't remember.
I think it was a Beijing, wasn't it?
Okay. That's just how the thing started.
The Beijing Olympics. Here comes Bob Costas on there, and he has a raging pink eye. And it's just like, it was just so distracting and so awful. And dude, here was my favorite thing about it.
It was just the welcome to the Olympics. Like, welcome to the Olympics. Welcome to the 83rd Olympiad. I have pink eye. Like, it's not like this town is amazing. The people here are incredible. The Americans have this many golds. It was, I have pink eye.
Morgan Freeman comes on.
Just like,
and Bob Costas has pink eye. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Like if the crescendo goes away, good morning, I have pink eye.
Good morning for my pink eye. One of the things that was amazing about Bob Costas' eye was that immediately, as soon as, like, I don't even know how it happened this quickly, yeah, that I jumped on Twitter and immediately somebody had already made a Twitter account where they used the eye of Sauron, yeah, from the Lord of the Rings, and it was the account was called Bob Costas' eye.
Didn't they send him home? Too distracting. Go home.
Bob, sorry.
Gosh.
I'd love to see the backroom conversation where Bob's like, I think I can do it.
I'm fine, guys.
What do we think about an eye patch? Welcome to Ancient and New.
One of my Young Life guys a few years ago almost lost his eye because someone threw a mozzarella stick at him. Did you know that?
Yeah. No.
Masakado.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he had to wear an eye patch in every sporting event afterwards because it was like, if you get hit in the eye again, you're going to lose your eye.
How likely is it? If somebody throws another mozzarella stick at your eyeball.
If you get hit in the eye one more time, we're going to have to pop that thing out.
Just like a meatball rolling away.
Just, oh, and they bring in Bob Costas on the consult. Oh, man. This is a Bible study podcast. And you got to start us this week.
I will.
Take us home. Or
lead us off.
There. Yeah.
There. Home.
Take us to the Bible.
Hail, chimp. Chimp. This has no, like, it's funny, like, the one-year Bible will do this thing where sometimes it'll give you two psalms, but it doesn't give you much warning. Like, it's not like, hey, by the way, you're getting two psalms a day. Like, everyone,
they don't come out of the gate with it like Bob Costas. No,
it's not like, good morning, you have two psalms today.
And I think
Bob Costas is going to sue the crap out of it.
Do you think Bob seems like the
type? No, he seems like the type of guy if someone's going to tell him, like, hey, man, some jokers are talking about you on some dinky podcast. Go take their money.
Dinky.
I'd be like, man, I don't have any money. But so, like, every once in a while I'll read two, but about half of the second, I'm like, why did the tone change so much? And then I'll look and I'm like, oh, this is a different one.
Yeah.
And this one was impossible not to notice because it was. This may have been the most different psalm I've ever read, which is a bold statement because there's one that's like four sentences long, and then there's one that's like four pages long. And like, I don't know why this felt different. It felt like is a vignette a word? Did I make that up?
No, that's a word.
What's it mean?
A vignette, it means a couple of things, but it means like in this situation, it's just like a little thing, just like a little.
Okay, I was.
Yeah, just a little
soliloquy.
Scene.
What is that word?
Soliloquy is different. Soliloquy is like...
What's the thing where in the middle of a show, like a middle of a play, an actor has his moment?
That could be a soliloquy.
Okay, so that's what this
felt
like.
He goes off on the stage and he's the only one talking.
Yeah, that's what this felt like. It felt like a...
A vignette is like a little scene that just happens like a little...
This also felt like a vignette.
Okay.
A soliloquy. Also like when you're doing... Vaniloquy. It's a vaniloquy. That sounds like the best candy bar that hasn't been invented yet.
Vaniloquy.
A vaniloquy. Brought to you by Kinder. All right. Here we go. This is Psalm 114.
All right.
It just felt... I don't have this is my driving force behind this. It was just like, this is cool. I want to share this with some friends. It says, when Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob, from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like lambs. The hills like lambs. Dang it, I messed that part up.
You're good.
The mountains leaked like... The mountains...
You did the laugh.
You're going to have to edit this.
No, I'm not editing.
The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams and the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. And that's it. It's just like, I get that these things are songs and poems, and this felt the most songy and poetic to me.
Yeah.
And I loved, I mean, the thing that really did stand out to me, though, was verses 5 and 6, where author, gosh, what's that? I'm sleepy. My mom, I used to watch that show Arthur the Aardvark, and my mom would call him Author to mess with me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She's like, you going to watch Author? I'd be like, Mom. It's so funny. She could dish it out, but she couldn't take it. You have to cut that part.
She doesn't listen. But
anyways, okay. So verse 5, when he just says, like, why was it, see, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams? You hills like lambs. Just, it's like, I laughed at the idea of somebody speaking, like you have a scene of somebody standing by a sea and saying, why did you flee? And then 2 seconds later, it cuts and you're at the Jordan River. Why did you turn back? And then, like, standing by a mountain and saying, why did you leap like a ram? And then at a hill and being like, why did you leap like a lamb? You know, like, yeah. It was just like, I laughed at that. And then, I mean, I realized it wasn't silly. Like, this thing isn't silly. It's serious and it's sweet. And it's like, but it's an awesome callback to amazing things God had done. And the answer to the questions, it felt ironic that he was asking them, because I was reading them laughing. And then I went back and I read it again. And I was like, no, this is a serious thing. You were calling us to the magnitude of who God is and how mighty he is. And you're asking a question that we all know the answer to, but there's a dramatic build up to it. Mm. And there isn't like a written answer. It is the Lord, but it points you to another direction of God by saying, tremble earth at the presence of the Lord. Obviously the answer is him, but I just love that this is how they point to the answer. At the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. It can feel unfinished a little bit because they have these questions and it doesn't tie it up necessarily, but it leaves you no doubt of what the answer is to these questions about how amazing and mighty that our God is, that a sea would change and that a river would stop flowing and that mountains could leap into the sea and tremble and fall and that hills could bounce and run. You know, it's just like anytime there is like personification of earthly things, like physical earth things. This is, by the way, this is like a dang English lesson, all these big words and stuff. Yeah. But I just like
anthropomorphized.
Yeah. Yeah. I get excited because I love those things. And then I love this one specifically because it was just pointing at how amazing God is and how powerful he is and how in control he is. And today, if you're not careful, it can be hard to think about how powerful and mighty and in control God is.
Sure.
The way the world is.
Right.
It's hard to think about how in control God is. Mm. Because it's not going the way we want it to.
Right.
It's easy to think about how in control God is when it's going exactly how you want it to and exactly how it seems like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
But when things are shaky and sick and germy and all the stuff is going on, it's hard to see that God's in control. It's hard to imagine how he is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of saying this from a point of like, I know it's true. It has to be true.
Yeah.
I know that God's in control. I don't really know how, but I know that he is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I love all that. And one of the things that I was thinking about when you were going through this is the idea of taking Psalm 114 as a template and filling it in with something from your own life.
Mm.
Have you ever done anything like that? Like,
yes.
Like, okay. So what, whoever wrote this Psalm, we don't have an author listed. Whoever wrote it is doing something that is extremely like ubiquitous in the Old Testament, which is taking a thing that God did and talking about it over and over and over again, like reminding everybody and making a really simple song out of it so that we never forget. This is what God did for us. And here's a new way to sing about it. That same thing where he split the Red Sea and then he split the Jordan River. And, you know, it's like, we don't ever want to forget that God did that for us. And so we're going to sing about it again and again and again. I think it would be really cool to take Psalm 114 and then take something in your life.
Ooh, this is cool. Keep going.
And then, like, okay, you think about a time that you were discouraged and God, like, very specifically did something to lift your discouragement. And then trash talk your discouragement.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, hey, so discouragement. How come you just ended that one moment?
Mm-hmm.
Like you were all over me one moment and then you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
You skedaddled like, you know, like a raccoon when I walked out the back door, you know, it's just like,
it's that's like what you chose.
A raccoon in a trash can. And it's like, I walk out.
There
boom.
There was a squirrel in my bag of bird seed this morning.
Yeah.
And I went full, like, get off my lawn. Like I tried to throw the glass door open, but it was locked. So I like, yeah. Oh, and then, screamed and chased it. And Maddie was like, what are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, there's this. I was like, there's a squirrel.
But like to talk to your own discouragement that way.
Yeah.
And remind yourself of what God has done. So like take this song as a template and put your own victories into it. Like the victories of the Lord in your own life. And rehearse them. Like rehearse times that God showed up for you. Everybody would have specific ones. And I think it would be a really cool thing, like today, to think back to one and then do it. And then trash talk that thing that God took out in your life.
Mm.
Like a fear or an anxiety or a sadness or just a dark moment or a temptation that God did something to help you overcome or a place where you grew. And remember it by putting it into the form of this song. I think that would be so cool.
That's a really great idea. I love that. I didn't mean to speak while I was yawning, but I think that's a really cool idea. It's already there. It's laid out for you. You know, yeah. To fill in the blank.
Yeah, use it as a, yeah. Use it. Use
it's
it
a
as
Mad
a fill
Lib.
In the blank.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's yeah. a Mad Lib.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. We should do Psalm 114 Mad Libs. Mm-hmm. I am going to take us to Philippians chapter 4, but honestly, the content of this verse is not the thing that I'm keying on for what I want to talk about in this episode. I really want to talk more about method than specifically this verse, but I am going to talk about a verse in Philippians chapter 4. Along with the scriptures that I read every day, I'm reading a devotional book that was written by Henry Nouwen this year. And it's just like, it's like a little paragraph or two every day that are just, they're just excerpted from different books that he wrote during his life and ministry and stuff like that. And lately in the readings that I've been going through at the end of the month of April and the beginning of the month of May, he's been talking a lot really about, honestly, about kind of like Christian meditation. Just like how to quiet your own heart, quiet your own mind, and get yourself centered on just the presence of Jesus with you and the love of God over your life, and to kind of calm and quiet yourself with the promises of God and everything. And one of the things that he said that he likes to do is, like, whatever he's reading in the scriptures, he'll take something that is especially encouraging or something that helps him think about just Jesus's love for him or something like that. And, or God's power or God's presence or something. And, he'll take a few minutes and he'll just say it to himself over and over again. Like, he'll get in a quiet space, in a quiet room, and he'll either think it or say it out loud to himself over and over, like a lot of times. Like 3 or 4 minutes of it. As he thinks about it, he'll just take that thought and he'll expand on it and he'll retract from it. And he'll just let the thoughts of whatever that verse is just go deeper down within him. And then he said, basically that's what he's trying to do, is train his brain to let that thing be his default thought of the day. Like, this is my centering idea of this day. And so I'm just going to give an example from Philippians chapter 4. I've been reading the book of Philippians, and there's a place in Philippians chapter 4 where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And so my thought from that was just that sentence, "The Lord is near." And I was like, okay, that's going to be my little meditative thought. And so I just took some time, no music on, nobody around, and I just said that sentence over and over again. And then I started thinking about, like, okay, what does near mean? Like, does it mean proximity? Does it mean he's coming again soon? So are we talking about time or are we talking about space? And it's like, okay, well, what if it's both? What if it means like the Lord is right here near me? And what if it means he's coming back soon? So as I say this to myself over and over again, and I'm letting that get deeper down in me, I'm thinking about both things. I'm thinking about the fact that, what if Jesus comes today? I'm thinking about the fact that Jesus is right here beside me. And like, this cool thing. I just, it's hard to describe this, but this cool thing happens where, like, the more you say this to yourself, the more at home it becomes.
Yeah.
So then it's like, for the rest of the day, I do little things like, if I'm working on something and then I get up to go use the bathroom and wash my hands, like, in that little walk, I go back to that thought. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Jesus, you are close to me. You could be coming back at any moment. What if you came back today? Oh, man, you're near. You're right beside me. But what if you showed up today? And I'm just like thinking about that on my way to the fridge, on my way to, you know, go take the trash out or whatever. Anytime I change motion, I go back to that centering thought. So the Lord is near. That's like one of the most recent ones that I've done. But like, it's almost not really the point. The point is like, I'm starting to use this method to start to retrain like my heart and mind's idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like not I-D-O-L, not like something you pray I-D-L-E-A. To, but I-D-E, yeah, I-D-L-E. Like you're like when your car is in neutral,
yeah.
You're idling. My idling speed is I have a thought, and that thought for today, or for, I guess this was a couple of days ago, was the Lord is near. The Lord is near. And it's just like, I'm thinking about that all day. And whenever I get scared or whenever I freak out, I take myself back to that thought and I start thinking about it again.
You know? I think that's super cool. And there's a thing that I do that's super helpful for me that you kind of, you brought out there. And I think like, there's people who journal and the people who don't. And some people think it's the coolest thing ever, and some people are like, I'm indifferent towards this. It's not my thing.
Right.
Which is great. And one thing I love to do when I journal, and I love that you said this, is like, it's the thought process of like, okay, the Lord is near. One thing I love to do is like take a thought like that and then just start. It's what you were saying. Ask all kinds of questions. Okay. What does near mean? Cool. What does it not mean? Okay. So that, right. Therefore God is not this, like, He's not far away. He's not over there. He's not there. He's right here. That's, you know,
good.
Just like, and breaking everything down word by word, sentence by sentence. And like, and I love doing that. Like, what does it mean? Okay. What doesn't it mean? Therefore I can cross everything off the list today. Like anytime I have the thought that God is not close to me, or that He's far away, or He doesn't understand me, or, you know, is not coming back. Like all that is proven wrong by that right there, you know? And I think that's so cool. And I probably learned that from you or from Tom or something.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cool because there are, I think this, like you're calling towards Henry Nouwen in this, is just a great moment to say, like, it's important in our life to have people to think like, you know, like to have people who, whether it's Henry Nouwen or like someone you're walking along with, and or some another book you're reading or whatever, like find people who help you think a certain way.
Well, and we've even talked about this before. I think over a year ago on the podcast, we talked about the fact that you and I were going through the practice of taking one simple thing from our time with the Lord and making a lock screen for our iPhone for that thing. So it's just kind of, so that becomes like the centering thought of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom talked about this recently in a talk that he did for like, just for our, like, you for the, like, the church's YouTube channel, of just like, I've got one thing that, like, during the day when I feel anxious or I feel afraid, I remind myself of this one little piece of this verse. And I, there's something so cool about, like, when the more you break it down and getting more and more out of it, and then it applies to different things throughout the day. The other day, I'm also reading the book of Jeremiah right now. And the other day I read that verse that said, because he's going off in chapter 2, and he says, my people have committed two sins. They have abandoned me, the spring of living water, and they're drinking water out of their own broken cisterns that don't hold any water.
Hmm.
And it was like, I mean, he just goes off the whole chapter. But the thing that I realized that I got that was encouraging out of that was, oh, you are the only spring of living water.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I can't find life anywhere else.
Right.
I'm going to have to find it in you.
Right.
And that sentence, Lord, you are the spring of living water. You are, not other things.
Right.
And a spring, it just bubbles up. I don't have to draw it. I don't have to dig for it. It's just flowing, you know?
Right.
So like it just expanded into all these other things. And it became my centering thought for the rest of the day. And these are not things that I grew up thinking about. The word meditation was a bad word
Yeah, yeah.
I feel
sure.
like as a as
that was a
kid
different
in the,
religion.
Yeah, as a kid in the Baptist
we
church.
We don't do that.
Yeah, it was like, it's been in times that are disorienting for basically everybody in a lot of different ways. It's been really cool to get some practice on basically meditating, taking some time, sitting really still, and having one centering thought and saying, this is going to be my backpack that I'm going to wear through this whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to come back to it all day. Every time I wash my hands, every time I crack open a drink, every time I lace up my shoes, whatever I'm doing, if I'm doing a mundane task, I'm taking my brain back to this thought.
Right.
And I'm meditating on it. I'm chewing on it one more time.
That's really cool. I like that.
Me too.
You're wise.
As you said, we stole it from like a lot of different teachers.
Yeah. Still most things.
Today's episode obviously was brought to you by the Beijing Olympics and the Twitter account Bob Costas's eye.
Yeah. Do you think his eye's better?
I hope so.
Just
man.
Kidding. He's. I love his voice.
I love Bob Costas.
I do too.
He's a good dude. He had this. Yeah. He's being interviewed in this one scene with that Jordan documentary. He's just got this mustard yellow blazer and just this mop top bowl cut, and you're just like, man, the '80s were weird.
Yeah. Man. I know. I remember them. They were weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You do remember them, don't you?
Yeah. '90s kid over here.
Especially people, starting about 94.
Yeah, there's people listening around here that are like, he's not a 90s kid. Well, I beg to differ. I need to go to sleep. So I couldn't read. I found out I don't read well when I'm sleeping.
Bob, if you listen to the show, we love you, man.
Please don't sue us.
Please don't. We love you, and we were pulling for you when your eye was like blazing on national television.
I just miss the Olympics. I look forward to it every 2 years.
Yeah.
You looked at me because I should have said four.
But there's the
winter, and summer. Yeah, I knew where you looked. I knew where you looked.
Yeah,
I'm Thomas.
I'm Lee.
Bye.
This has been HN News.
I don't usually do that part.
I was waiting for you to do it. Oh, shoot. I totally forgot that this
we
week.
We just restarted.
We, our outro song this week is by Zach Hughes. He released a new song recently called The Wild Side.
Mm.
And it is, or is it just called Wild Side? It's just called Wild Side.
Yeah, it's called Wild Side.
And it is so, so good. And I asked him if we could like roll the song out on our show. And he said we could. You need to listen to a song by Osteady on Spotify called Wild Side. And it is so, so cool.
Yes. All of his music's great. I've enjoyed the song. I've listened to it in my office.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. It's like, what if you took a walk with Jesus? What if it changed your life?
That's cool.
What if your whole life could change? I think you're going to like it over here.
Mm.
And I hope you find me there too. So, so cool.
I like that.
We love you, Zach.
Yes, Zach, we do.
This has been Ancient and New.
Bye.
Take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Take a walk on the bright side and try to be kind. I hope that you'll find me there, breathing the air in. Give a little what you want. Try not to boast. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there. Breathing the air in. And when you're beaten down and looking around for something to hold on to, and what you want the most is someone to hold you and feel your heart beating. Just take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope.